Good morning. We will open the Word of God to Romans. Romans chapter 5, and we will pick up in verse 12. Last week we saw in God's Word just how secure our salvation is, and if someone is truly saved, then there is no way one could lose his salvation. We learned that if a dying Savior could bring us into God's grace, surely a living Savior can keep us in His grace. We read in God's Word that if the death of Christ had the power to save us, how much more will His life have the power to keep us? And we will see today just how much more our Lord Jesus Christ is. As we finish up chapter 5 and we take a look at a comparison of Adam and Christ, we will see just how great our God is. Our text will tell us today how sin entered into the world through one man, and through that sin came death, and that's the bad news. But our text will also tell us that through one man, grace has come, which will give us life. That's the good news. That's the gospel. That's salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So in our studies today, in chapters 4 and 5, so through our studies and up to today, through chapters 4 and 5, we have learned much about salvation. I messed you up, didn't I? Y'all was thinking I was going to go chapters 1 through 3 would tell us about sin. There you go. Thank you. And the upcoming chapters, we will learn what God says about sanctification. Now here in chapter 5, we can see that God, through the Apostle Paul, is answering the question that the saints in Rome will have. It is as if He knows their very thoughts. You think? So the question that is going to be answered today is, how can one man do the work that would be able to save all men? Now, we've just learned that salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. So how can one man have such a widespread effect? And God answers that question by drawing an analogy between Adam and Christ. And basically, the Word will ask them a question. Hey, you have accepted the fact that it is through one man that sin entered into the world and affected everyone. Then why should it be so hard for you to accept the fact that the act of one man can make many righteous? So we pick up at verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Well, first we see and we learn that sin entered the world through one man. And verse 14 tells us that that one man is Adam. Now, Adam did not create sin. It was just through him that sin entered into the world. And it was through sin that death was able to enter into the world. So death started with Adam. Before Adam sinned, there was no death, not spiritually or physical. But now that sin has entered into the world, there is a penalty that has to be paid for that sin. And the Word tells us that the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. So when Adam sinned, death became part of the fallen human nature. And when Adam sinned, death became a part of life for all. Now, I've done some very extensive research over the past few weeks, and I have come to the conclusion that 99.999% of the people that have walked on this earth have died. And if you are living today, the odds of you dying is at 100% if rapture does not come soon. And the congregation said, please come back soon, Lord. Amen. Now, children, listen to me, children. I would like for one of you to come up to me after service and tell me why I did not say 100% of the people who have walked on this earth have died. Okay? Now, we all die because the one act of Adam. And someone may be thinking, well, how is it that we die when it was Adam that sinned? When Adam sinned, it became part of who he was. And now that part of him is passed on to all after him. We are all descendants of Adam, and we have all inherited that sin nature. You see, my kids did not just get a big nose and bald head from me. And Lord, help Haley if that happens to her. But I passed on something worse. I passed on sin. I passed on that sin nature. Each person is born a sinner. Now, we do not become a sinner because we commit sin like Adam did. We commit sin because we are sinners. That is who we are. We are born that way. Psalm 51:5 says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." You see, my parents were two sinners. What does it make me? Even worse, my parents were conceived by four sinners. Doesn't end. So everyone born of human parents, which are most of you here today, inherited Adam's sin. By nature, we inherit Adam's sin. Now, when you make a statement like that, you always have that one guy in the back row who says, "Well, that ain't fair." First of all, if I had been in that garden, I would have shown that snake a thing or two. Liar. Not the snake, but you for even thinking that. And then they will say, "How come I have to pay the price for sin? I wasn't there. You just said the wages of sin is death. Why do I have to pay the penalty of sin? It was not my fault." Well, I have some good news for that guy in the back row. No one has to pay the penalty of sin unless he wants to. Salvation from sin and the wages of sin and salvation from the wages of sin is offered to all as a free gift through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. He has paid the penalty for all who are willing to receive that free gift. It is like you have a bill and it has a list of your sins, and down at the bottom is a total that you owe, and Christ says, "All you have to do is give it to me. I will stamp it paid." You do not have to pay 1 cent. Jesus says, "I will pay it all." So when they say it's not fair, then they know that sin guilt is in their hearts and they don't understand the gospel. What's not fair is that a holy Christ would die for me. See, there are things about God that our finite minds can't understand, and like trying to comprehend why we were considered guilty of sin at the time that Adam sinned, and how we can be held accountable for sins if we are born a sinner without a choice. And we may not be able to reconcile all that in our minds, but we know one truth, and that one truth that we do know is that we are sinners, and the wages of sin is death, and we are in need of a Savior, and we have a choice of whether we are going to pay that penalty or will we trust that Jesus Christ has paid it all for us. You don't have to pay that penalty. That's something we all must understand, and we can understand. No one has to pay the penalty for his sins unless he wants to. So don't say that ain't fair. So sin has entered the world through one man. Death entered through sin, And the result is that death reigns over all. Now that will bring us to verse 13. And here the word will show us that death reigned because of Adam's sin, and that death reigned before the law was given. Now remember how important the law was to the people that are receiving this letter. And the word now is showing that it was not the breaking of the law that brought death, because death reigned before the law. Verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. So even though the people that lived during the time from Adam to Moses did not have the written law, death still reigned over them. You see, since those people did not have the written law, then sin was not formally charged to their account, but yet they still died. And the point that Paul is making is that those people did not necessarily die because they had sinned, but because Adam had sinned. And because he had sinned, it allowed death to reign, and everyone has inherited the nature of death from Adam. It was because of Adam that death reigns, not because of the breaking of the law. And you say, well, what do you mean we died because of Adam and not because of our sin? You know, yes, we die because of our sin, but you have to think about this. A baby dies. What sin did it commit? Nothing, but it still died. Because of Adam. So through one man, we all die. And verse 15 says, this one man is a type of him who was to come. And the text goes on from here to make an analogy between Adam and Christ. It shows how one man with one act can affect the entire human race. And that is the only way that these two are the same. By one act, each one affected the entire human race. Everything else between Adam and Christ is in direct contrast. Adam's one act brought sin, judgment, condemnation, and death. Christ's one act brought grace, righteousness, justification, and life. Total opposites of one another. In Adam, we all die, but in Christ, we are made alive. That is the redemption of mankind. And in the next four verses, we will see how great our God is. Verse 15 tells us that the gift is greater than the offense. Read with me verse 15. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. The effect Adam had was great, but the effect Christ had is much, much more. God's grace is greater than man's sin. The free gift of grace abounds to many. It is available to many. And here in this text, when it says that by one man's offense many died, that many means all. They all died. But as I studied this passage, I realized that when it says the free gift of grace that abounds to many, that many in this verse does not mean all. The gift is available to all, but not all will choose to receive that gift. And it's so sad that it's right there before them. For all, but not all will receive. But in this verse, we can see that Christ did much, much more. His grace is much, much more than we can imagine. And it is much, much more than the offense of Adam. Christ died for rebellious man, so man can have the gift of eternal life. A little side note. Remember last week how we went down the list of ways that we can know for sure that our salvation is secure in our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, here's another way of knowing. The effect of Adam's act can be nullified and has been. The effect of Christ's act is eternal. The effect of what Adam did is nullified by the act of Christ. Did you get that? If you have received from God the gift of grace through Jesus Christ, then you will be able to keep that gift forever. No act by any man can change that. And how wonderful that is. Christ gained the victory over death, and nothing can gain the victory over Christ ever. Ever. Once you are in Christ, you are there forever. Praise the Lord. So we see that Christ's gift is greater than Adam's offense. And now we will see that Christ's justification is greater than Adam's condemnation. Verse 16. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. The condemnation that came on all was for one sin. So don't miss this, because this is what will make you really think about how great our God is and how much, much more He is. One sin brought judgment, and the verdict was condemnation. But then we have the gift. That gift gives the verdict of justification for many, many sins. That is incredible. Many, many sins. One sin, condemnation. One gift, justification for many sins. One trespass produces havoc, but one gift of justification blotted out many trespasses. A multitude of trespasses. And as I studied this, I just wanted to sing, how great is our God? I want the world to know, how great is our God? He's able to blot out many, many trespasses. One man, Jesus Christ, did it all. How great is that? Dr. John MacArthur makes a great point here. How many sins did it take for God to condemn the whole human race? One. Does that tell you a little bit about God and His attitude towards sin? Do you think God is serious about sin? He didn't say, well, Adam, that's just a little sin. He didn't say, that's okay. We'll get it straight. No. One sin, bam, the whole human race. And God feels the same way about sin today as He did back then. The character of God has not changed. He is holy, and He hates sin. Now you could sit there and ponder and study and stay focused on the hate that God has towards sin and ask, wow, you know, one sin? You know, what kind of God is this? Or you could look at this and say, wow, He hates sin that much? Then He must really love me. If Jesus is willing to die for me, if Jesus is willing to take my punishment for sins, if Jesus is willing to forgive my sins, the multitude of trespasses that I have, He's willing to do that, then how much, much more must He love me? If we would look at sin the way God does, then that might give us an idea of just how much God loves the sinner. He hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. The only thing that is more powerful in the heart of God than his hatred of sin is his love for the sinner. Don't ever doubt how much God loves you. So the gift is greater than the offense. The justification is greater than the condemnation. And now we will see that Christ's reign of life is greater than Adam's reign of death. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense, death reigned through one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Instead of death reigning over us, we will reign in life through Jesus Christ. And that's the shouting good news. Death no more has control over us. We will live forever with our Lord Jesus Christ. But in this text, I want our attention to be focused on the words, those who receive. For those who receive. Here is the abundance of grace. Here is the gift of righteousness. You will reign as a king through Jesus Christ. Here it all is right before you. It's yours if you will receive it. It is for those who will receive. Will you accept that gift? Now, if you refuse the gift, then death will continue to be your king, and it will reign over you like a vicious tyrant, and you will be its servant, your choice. You can be a servant, or you can have much, much more and be a king. The gift of life is set before all, and it is greater than death. Why would you choose death? So the gift is greater than the offense. The justification is greater than the condemnation. The reign of life is greater than the reign of death. Verse 18 and 19. Christ's obedience is greater than Adam's disobedience. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Adam was disobedient. He was told not to eat the forbidden fruit. He ate it. He disobeyed and brought death. Ephesians 2 said that all men are the children of disobedience. And if it were not for the love of God and the obedience of His Son, then we would still be in our disobedience. And Ephesians 2 goes on to say that we were all children of wrath. But God sent His only Son, who was obedient, into the world to suffer and to die and to save us from that wrath. The Son obeyed and brought life. Philippians 2:8 said that Christ was obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Christ was obedient in His entire life. Many times He said, I do only what the Father tells me to do. And only because of His obedience can many be made righteous. So Adam was disobedient. And Christ was obedient. The gift is greater than the offense. The justification is greater than the condemnation. The reign of life is greater than the reign of death. Christ's obedience is greater than Adam's disobedience. And the abundance of grace is greater than the abundance of sin. Verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. It does not matter how much sin there is. God has much more grace, and it will cover that sin. If sin grows, then grace grows even more. When the law was given, what the law did, it shed light on sin. The law illuminated sin, and it was able to clearly reveal the greatness of sin. And the law shows us how desperately we are in need of the grace from God. And Paul brings up this issue about the law again to make clear another point to his Jewish brothers. Remember how important the law was to them. But here in God's Word, God has just demonstrated that sin did not come because of the law. Salvation does not come by keeping the law. We have sinned because of the act of one man, and we have salvation because of the act of one man. It is not because of the law. So the law did not originate sin, but it revealed sin as an offense against God. And since the law has been revealed, since the law has revealed how great the sin is, it makes man aware of how much grace that is needed. Hey, we need more grace than we expected now that we can see this sin. God says, my grace abounds much, much more. As a matter of fact, his grace has no bounds. No matter how great the sin, God's grace is greater. How great is our God? So today we see the gift is greater than the offense. The justification is greater than the condemnation. The reign of life is greater than the reign of death. Christ's obedience is greater than Adam's disobedience. The abundance of grace is greater than the abundance of sin. That is how great our God is. And we'll close with verse 21, we'll close this chapter out. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Death and life are polar opposites. And they have just hit head on. And it is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord that has defeated death forever and ever. Eternal life is through our Lord Jesus Christ. All the demands of God's holiness have been met. The penalty of the law has been paid through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I leave you with the question today. We are all sons of Adam, but are we all sons of God? The free gift is there for all who will receive. Pastor Vince.